Well, brothers and sisters, I probably don't need to tell you that we just right now are going through the worst market crash in my lifetime. The Dow is down 42% over the year. And by the way, just about every other nation has collapsed. Hong Kong is down 46%, Japan down 46%, Germany down 43%, the UK down 39%. The annualized change in the present depression is 3.7% compared to 1.5% in the 66 to 76 crash. And so it's much worse than anything happened in the 60s and 70s. Not quite as bad as what happened in the 20s. It was a 10.6 annualized change in the 20s. But this makes this the worst economic collapse since the Great Depression. So you and I think anybody here has never lived. I don't believe there's anybody here who's over 80 years old. So you're only like 42, right? So this is really the worst economic collapse we've ever seen. And you know, as I was thinking about it, I thought, you know what? This isn't really all that bad. I had breakfast this morning, you know? I'm feeling pretty good. Actually, you know, if this is the very worst that things have ever been for 80 years, I'm still feeling pretty good. Amen? Come on, let's get a little perspective here. The worst day in 80 years of this country is 100 times better than the worst day in Uganda or Haiti or anywhere else where the Word of God hasn't been preached and they don't share the religious Christian foundations of a nation like ours. And you know, God's long suffering towards us is just overwhelming. Isn't it? Just overwhelming. I mean, we don't deserve this, do we? We're living pretty good for this being the worst year in 80 years of American history. I'd say we're still doing pretty good. But you know what? The wicked don't believe in God's long suffering. They don't call it God's long suffering because they haven't done anything wrong. They haven't done anything wrong. Besides, God isn't really getting involved. God's not all that interested in what's going on. There are no prayer meetings in the Bear Stearns corporate boardrooms. You understand? They aren't tearing their clothes and repenting because there is no God who cares a whit about what they do. They don't fear God. They don't fear God. And they don't think God has anything to say about what they're doing here. But that's not what Psalm 94 tells us. Let me read Psalm 94. How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And how the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine inheritance. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Talk about abortion there. Yet they say the Lord shall not see. Neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools. When will you be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that established the eye, shall he not see? You can hear. You can see. You don't think God can hear what you're doing in your boardrooms? You don't think God can see what you're doing in your abortion clinics? God can hear very well. He doesn't even need a hearing aid. He's tuned in to you. And he says, understand, he that chastises the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teaches man knowledge, shall he not know? Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. What we're seeing is God's judgments and God's laws being established. God's laws are as certain and as true and as sure as the day is long. And God's judgments will never be withheld from this nation. God is connected to what is happening. And as sure as God's law of gravity exists, and you can try to challenge that law over and over again, but at some point you're going to hit the concrete floor. I mean, you can go 10,000 feet up into the air. No, you go 100,000 feet up in the air. And you jump out of that plane and you say, gravity doesn't exist for a year and a half. And you're going to figure out that gravity exists. Right? The same thing applies to God's laws of economics, which, by the way, is synopsized in the Eighth Commandment. Thou shalt not steal. I want to read to you a poem that expresses this concept better than I can. Rudyard Kipling was, I believe, a prophet of his day. And his last poem he ever wrote in 1919 was a poem called The Gods of the Copybook Headings. And he contrasts the gods of the marketplace to the gods of the copybook headings. And the gods of the copybook headings were the laws and the judgments of God that were written on children's copybooks in the latter part of the 19th century, when they were still putting the Ten Commandments in copybooks. Okay, now those were the children's little aphorisms that children were supposed to believe, but of course, they were passé for the adults. And so he presents the gods of the marketplace who want to rob selective Peter to pay collective Paul and suggest that man is not fallen, man is not depraved anymore, and pigs have wings and other beautiful things. Now, this is what the gods of the marketplace thought. And they presented these beautiful things about not man not being depraved and how pigs have wings. And they tried to sell it to everybody for 100 years. But he says the gods of the copybook headings continue to speak. Listen to the end of the poem. Then the gods of the markets tumbled, and their smooth-tongued wizards withdrew. And the hearts of the meanest were humbled and began to believe it was true. That all is not gold that glitters, and two make four. And the gods of the copybook headings live up to explain it once more. As it will be in the future, it wasn't the fall of man. There are only four things certain since social progress began. That the dog returns to his vomit, and the sow returns to her mire, and the burnt fool's bandaged finger goes wobbling back to the fire. And that after this is accomplished, and the brave new world begins, when all men are paid for existing, and no man must pay for his sins, as surely as water will wet us, as surely as fire will burn, the gods of the copybook headings with terror and slaughter return. You see, my friends, it is a certainty that God's judgments will stand, and man will not break those standards with impunity before God at some point in time. Now, God is long-suffering, I just mentioned that, but at some point, God will come back and destroy those towers that those men built upon the wrong principles. And 99.99% of the time, I'll tell you what, man is confident that God does not exist. He just goes about his business ignoring God, assuming that God will never judge his economies and his nation. And for almost 100 years, we've been seeing this massive violation of Eighth Commandment, the institutionalization of the breaking of the Eighth Commandment. That's what happened when they established in 1913 the Federal Reserve. This was institutionalized stealing. And you know, I understand that 99.99% of the people have never heard and will not listen to this message. They believe that their greed-based, materialistic, massive system of thievery and redistribution of the wealth is normative. And they're just fine with that. But all the way through the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, you had isolated prophets that would stand up and speak to 20 to 30 to 40 people at a time. And they would present the system as a system that violates God's requirement that we have a fair system of weights and balances. There were men that expressed this again and again. But men said, who cares? We don't need it. We're going to go with Keynes and his fractionalized banking system. And we're going to encourage as much debt as we possibly can. And we're going to redistribute the wealth as much as we possibly can. And if the system comes down because a lot of people went into debt because of all their greed and took upon themselves investments that inevitably were going to come down, that the government can come in and steal even more money from the people and redistribute it into the hands of these men who made these foolish choices. This is the violation of the Eighth Commandment. And as this problem becomes institutionalized and wholesale throughout our society, the entire economy is going to come down because the system has learned to violate the Eighth Commandment of God, and no free enterprise, no capitalist system will ever survive based upon that kind of institutionalized violation of the Eighth Commandment. We will not survive. Amen. It doesn't matter what the gods of the marketplace say. Pigs have wings. The Federal Reserve System is a great concept. A debt-driven system will give us prosperity to eternity. I don't care what they tell you. Brothers and sisters, God's law says thou shalt not steal. And that the debtor is servant to the lender. Now, What's the application here for us? We are the people who have built the system. We have been too greedy. We have let materialism corrupt ourselves. We are the ones, we Americans are the ones who voted for men who would not reverse the system. We perpetuated it, brothers and sisters, with every vote that we cast for leaders who would not stand up and stop the redistribution of the wealth. We continued to perpetuate it with every ungodly man who would not root his economic policies in the Word of God. We contributed to this. We have not been generous with the poor ourselves. We have gotten into way much debt, way too much debt. We have ignored God ourselves. We have not been humble before Him. We have not been careful with our neighbor's money. So what do we do? Brothers and sisters, God is warning us. God is warning every single person here right now. He shot a warning shot across the bow, and He is warning us. And I think every person, every family here in this congregation needs to ask themselves, how does God want us to change our lifestyle? We can't change the macro. You say, I can't do anything about the federalism. Yes, but you can do something about the micro. You can do something about your own life. You have been sucked into this. You have. This greedy, debt-based system that encourages us to live high off the hog, way beyond our means. We need to ask ourselves, how can we live simpler lives? How can we be careful that we are not robbing our neighbor to provide for ourselves? How can we begin to give to the widow and orphan ourselves rather than redistributing the wealth and voting to increase taxes and the redistribution of the wealth, which has happened nonstop? And brothers and sisters, the last 8 years, you know the last 8 years has been far more redistribution of wealth than any other president in the history of America. You know that. So what are you saying? I want to perpetuate it. I want to commit to redistributing the wealth, even more of it. I believe in breaking the eighth commandment, and I want to continue with that. No, we have to stop breaking the eighth commandment today. And providing for the widow and orphan in our congregation. I know, brothers and sisters, we have started doing that the last 3 to 4 years of this congregation. We have preached it. We have tried to live it. And we're trying to provide for widows in this congregation. We have done that to 2 to 3 widows here in this congregation. But we have got to find ways in which we can stop being so greedy and materialistic. Stop trying to get rich quick. Proverbs says it's wrong to get rich quick. And I was playing this game in the 90s, in the 80s, I can remember. When I knew if I put 10% down on some California real estate, if I could put $2,000 down, that money would become $20,000 within 4 years if inflation continued. And I wanted to get rich quick. Well, I'm here to tell you the proverb says that's a sin against God. It is a sin against God to want to get rich quick. Now, you're going to have to decide what get rich quick means yourself. I'm just saying, as a nation, we have violated these principles. So you begin to face this issue. What does God want me to do in the area of living life more simply and not trying to be as greedy as possible and getting as rich as I possibly can off of some real estate investment that's heavily leveraged? Now, again, I'm not saying that you shouldn't live in a home. If you need to get a loan to get into a humble little hovel somewhere, then get a loan. If you can't afford a hovel, then go get a loan. Get into your hovel. But I'm saying, as a nation, and every single one of us is a member of this nation, let's reassess. Let's reassess what we've been doing. And, you know, if God is speaking to you through His Word by the circumstances around you right now, saying you have been too greedy, you have expected too much, you have been living off the future way too much, you have been trying to get rich quick. If God is speaking to you, it is time right now to repent. The repentance begins in the house of God. Don't risk your neighbor's money in foolish debt adventures. Pay off your loans and don't file bankruptcy. That's what Christians do. So today, let's commit as a congregation to be men and women of integrity. Men and women who will live our lives with what we need.
and not spend our children's future money on foolish ventures and living high off the hog when we really could live life a lot more simply. Brothers and sisters, we ought to just fear God and keep His commandments. And don't fear the circumstances. Don't fear losing your money. We've been fearing money and worshiping money in houses far too long. Right? So if anybody's here fearful, that's sin. Repent of it this morning, please. Don't you dare be fearful of losing the value of your money in your bank accounts. You fear God. Amen, somebody? Amen! Amen. We're going to fear God and keep His commandments. And you know what? He's going to provide for us. You focus on the right thing. You fear God. Keep His commandments. You focus on that. God will give you all the junk you're going to need. That's His promise in Matthew 6:33. Heavenly Father, oh God, we confess our sin to You. We as a nation have been far too greedy. We have broken Your eighth commandment again and again and again. Oh God, You will bring the system down. It cannot continue forever. Man will not break Your commandment with impunity for centuries. You always bring these kingdoms down. You always have. And You always will. But I pray that there will be a remnant in this congregation, Lord God, that would commit themselves to the principles You've laid down in the Proverbs and in Your law. We pray we would embrace Your will, Your law, and Your judgments and live our lives that way. Oh God, we pray we'd repent of our greediness, our materialism. Oh, it has infected us. There isn't a person here where it hasn't affected them a little bit. We have been part of the system. We have been tempted by the gods of the marketplace many, many times. And Lord God, we pray You would renew our minds by the Word of God and by the pouring out of Your Spirit this day, that we would change the way we live. Oh God, we pray we'd care for the widow. Ourselves, opening up our own checkbooks. Not sticking the government after them. No, but opening up our own checkbooks and taking care of them. Lord God, and living our lives simply to the glory of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.